Good morning and welcome to Emmanuel. My name is Pastor John. I'm commissioned pastor at Hope Church in Port Perry. It is my pleasure to bring you God's word this morning, and I trust that you will meet God in his word, and that is my prayer for you this morning. Please rise if you're able for the call to worship. When Moses gathered the people of Israel, God said, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And as we gather here today, let us worship the Lord, who continues to be our God and still brings us out of the places of bondage." Let us come before God in a time of prayer. If you're comfortable, please be seated. Loving God, as we gather today in ways that are different from what we're used to, we're mindful that you are a glorious and loving Father. Your love abides in times of difficulty and in times of trouble. For many of us, oh God, things have become just a little scary. Things that we've taken for granted, the ability to come and go freely, to visit with our friends and neighbors, to greet each other with a smile, a handshake, to celebrate times, milestones in people's lives, the times to come together for worship, to praise your name, Father, to listen to your word. And now, oh Lord, as the world continues in this state of worry and fear, not only with COVID-19, but with what's happened in the world, Father, the protests, the looting, help us, Father, as believers to be put on our armor of God, to be that light in the world, Father. You've called us to be the church, to be strong in you and in your mighty power, not our own strength, but the resurrection power of Christ. Have mercy and forgive us, for too often we have gone our own way. We tend to depend on ourselves, our resources, our wisdom, the wisdom rather than on you. So God, we acknowledge that there is fear. We live with fear, Father. All of us face these fears of the virus that's wreaking havoc, the unknown, Father, the concerns of those who are out of work, who are struggling financially or facing this financial pressure. Our seniors, Father, who consistently are facing these times of quarantine, uncertainty for those who have been tested and who are waiting those tests, Father, for those who should be in doctor's care and yet, Father, are unable to go meet their doctor, so they're doing it over the telephone. Father, what about those who are home with their children, whose routines have been interrupted? There's no camp, no times of play. Father, those who want to travel. Father, the financial pressures for those businesses that possibly may never open again. Father, we think of all these things, but then there are so many who are lonely. So today, Father, we come before you to declare that, Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life. May your church be the church that you've called us to be. May we walk in the truth, Father, of your word. May we turn from all the sin that entangles us and maybe walk in that righteousness with you that you have provided in Christ. Make us ready, Father, for the reason of the hope that we have. Our Savior Jesus is that peace. Lord Jesus, shield us in that faith. Father, we think of those who are struggling with major lifestyle changes, Father, the uncertainty of where that next paycheck comes. Father, help us to be that church, that community. Show us, Father, where and who we can help. Father, fill us with the spirit of an early church. Father, we think of those who are continually working in hospitals, research labs, senior homes. Father, they've all sort of fallen to the wayside in our news and our media as we deal with this tragedy in Minnesota. So, Father, we just ask for protection. We ask for a hedge of protection around them. Surround them, Father, with your love and with your guidance. Guide our government leaders. Father, guide our country, our nation. Guide us globally, Father. May your word dwell richly, Father, in the hearts of your believers, in the hearts of the church. may it accomplish all that you intend, Father, convicting us of our sin, judging our attitudes and actions, revealing Jesus, defining, Father, the very way that we live. Teach us to follow your example, Lord Jesus. In all things, may we choose to put on Christ this day and take our stand. Father, may we be ready, alert, faithful in prayer. In your name, brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray. May we be strengthened to do the same, that the work that you have called us this very day may be a work that is mighty and powerful. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus who gave himself, that we might share in his authority and be more than conquerors. And as he taught us to pray, Father, let us come together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I would invite you to take your Bibles this morning, and we will be reading Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And before we read God's holy word, let's just ask God for a blessing on that word, on his reading, that we may apply it to our lives, that the Spirit may fill us in a way, Father, that we are empowered to go out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have opened your word this morning, Father, we pray that it changes our lives, that by the Holy Spirit working in us, Father, our lives are changed going forward, that we are able to glean these words that you have put on our hands, Father, on our hearts, on our minds, on our souls. Father, this is your word. This is your holy word. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 34, the word of the Lord. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste, see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. Though lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever loves life, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. I don't think I'm telling you anything new. We live in fearful times. Whatever good news might happen on any given day can hardly have a foothold on the front of a newspaper or any of the social media sites. In amidst all this bad news that we hear consistently, It's not wrong for a Christian for us to acknowledge these fearful events that are taking place in the world. It wasn't but 6 months ago we heard comments on the radio talk about what's happening in this world, the disease, the wars, the terrors, tax, the threats, the economy, the loss of resources. In an old age, climate change, whatever the case may be, whatever it was, there were so many things. That list went on and on of the fear that we have in the world. What would happen if interest rates jumped 2%? Things like that, for people would lose their homes. There was this consistent fear going on. And these fears are very real in our lives. And now we go through that, we need to navigate through this fear and the threats of COVID-19. What has that got to, how that is affecting our lives? What about the jobs that are being lost? What about the permanent closing of many businesses? What about the processes of reopening? What happens if those numbers spike again and we have to start shutting down? And it's summertime when people want to be outside, interacting with one another, enjoying the weather. We really didn't need COVID-19 as to what's going on. And now all of a sudden we're dealing with the process, the protests of, and the looting and the murder of George Floyd. The world is in a fearful, fearful state. And it's very real of what's going on. There's no denying it. Nobody can deny their existence. And then the question becomes for we as Christians, we as followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how do we view these fears biblically? How do we handle this fear that we're faced with in our lives? More than any other book in the Bible, and when I speak to people about what passages of Scripture, what book of the Bible they really spend a lot of time in, many people will say, I turn to the book of Psalms when I need comfort in the face of fear. We have more honest expressions of fear and doubt in the book of Psalms than anywhere else. We have these expressions of faith and praise. David, who wrote some of these Psalms, was willing to talk about these fears in his life. But he always concluded his Psalms with talking about faith. David wrote most of the Psalms, and the book is really, it's almost like a journal of David's life with God. There was the good, then there was the bad, and then there's everything that happened in between. If you go through the book of Psalms, you'll see there's 14 books that have the superscription. It says the notes at the beginning of the text, which are the part of that inspired text. It gives some information on the context of why that psalm was written. If you look at closely at your Bibles this morning, there's a heading you will see. As you go through Psalm 34, it reads, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. If you would like, you can turn back later on this afternoon or sometime in your book, and you can read about that episode of David's life. It's recorded in 1 Samuel. To summarize this, David was anointed as king of Israel. Saul was still king at that time, but he's on his way out. After David had defeated Goliath and gained popularity among the people, Saul became very jealous of David. Saul decided, much like any other king, what do you do when this threat persists and continues and threatens your own existence as king? You eliminate him. For several years, David lived on the run, staying one step ahead of Saul and his soldiers. Weary from running, David makes a foolish decision. He decides to seek refuge in amongst the Philistines, the people of Goliath, and they were the sworn enemies of Israel. And when I read that, I sometimes think, what were you thinking? Well, he thought he would be safe among them. There was no way Saul would dare pursue him there. So David went to the city of Gath, the hometown of Goliath. Why would David do such a thing? guess it happens to all of us. It's what we do when we take matters into our own hands. We're exhausted, we're weary, we're tired of these spiritual battles that we face, and we choose things that are not wise in life. And that's exactly what happened to David. On his way to Gath, David stops at the village of Nob to get food and hopefully a weapon. And there the sword of Goliath is kept by Nob, by the high priest. So David takes it with him and travels on to Gath. And when he arrives there, as a celebrity for someone who killed Goliath, their hometown hero, it wasn't long for people to recognize who David was. And as soon as David recognized that the people knew who he was, he realized he was in really deep trouble. So David pretends madness. He pretends to be an insane person, and the king of Gath tells his men, just run David off, which they did. And it's then David flees from Gath and ends up in the cave of Adullam. And that leads us to the superscription of Psalm 34. This is a very low point in David's life. There he's taken refuge in a cave. The anointed king of Israel is being threatened by the deposed king who refuses to give up his throne. And it is there that David writes Psalm 34. And as we've gone through this passage of scripture this morning, we see that there are four things we can do when we're consumed by fear. When we are afraid, we can offer up praise. You see, in the first three verses, as you go through this psalm, David offers up amazing praises to God. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Well, you know, it's really easy for us to sing praises to God when things are going well in our lives. Jobs, kids, money, successes, and so forth. But what about when things are going badly? How do you feel when you're hiding in a cave from someone who wants to end your life? Remember, David had just escaped from the king of Gath. He'd been identified as the one who killed Goliath, and himself could have been put to death right on the spot. But somehow God had put it on the king of Gath to run David out of town. Praising God when things are going badly is an act of faith and obedience. It's one of the most important principles that we can learn on how to deal with these difficult days that we all face. It takes faith and obedience to say to the Lord, I am going to worship and praise you in spite of how I feel. I praise you because I know you are in control of my life. It's easy for us to praise God when we have praise on our lips. It's easy for us to praise God when we have praise music in our cars, in our phones, on our digital devices, in our homes. There's services on YouTube. There's service recordings happening as we speak because we can't worship together as we would love to. But did you know just a few taps of the finger can bring glorious songs of praise to your hearing, and then it goes into your heart, and soon you find yourself singing and you find yourself worshiping with the music that you are listening to. You are praising God even though things in your life are all going wrong. You live with that fear. Someone once shared with me, they said they had a serious challenge to their health, and the song they said that got them closer to God was the song by Andrea Kuch, Through It All. He said, I had a CD player in my car at that time. He says, and I put that CD on repeat, and that's all I played. Every time we went home from the hospital after my treatments, we played that song and sang praises. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Nothing can lift our spirits and build our faith like music and praise. Second point, when we're afraid, we can own our problem. After the beginning of his psalm with praise, David moves to the next step. He owned his problems. He didn't complain or blame anyone else. He had a spirit of humility before the Lord. He referred to himself as, in verse 6, this poor man. He didn't refer to himself as a bold man, a strong man, a new king in waiting. No, he referred to himself as this poor man. He was probably embarrassed for faking insanity in order to save his skin at Gath, because he knew that he had got himself in trouble by going to Gath in the first place. I think all of us hold a special spot in our heart for David, because he says the things that we're afraid to say at times. When we don't know what to say, we should do as David did. We should speak honestly from our heart. If you're fearful, tell God you're afraid. If you're weak, tell him you're weak. If you're confused, tell God, I don't understand. You're not going to offend God. He can handle anything that you are feeling. Some find it helpful to record their prayers and pleas to the God in a journal. They say it allows them to go slower. It allows them to put down their exact thoughts and then begin to pray it verbally. Myself, I personally like praying through Scripture. I like seeing the exact words, and I like reading them, and I like saying them over and over, and I like to look at that Scripture. I like to hold my Bible, and I like to meditate on those words, bringing them to God and saying, this is what's going on in my life. But for those who like to journal, they say it provides a written record of what they have said to God. And then they write down how he responds. Another point is we can overcome when we're afraid. We can overcome through prayer. God, through David, used special graphic phrases for this prayer and this psalm. He says in verse 4, I sought the Lord. This poor man called in verse 6, those who seek the Lord in verse 10, the righteous cry out in verse 17. Throughout the psalm, David puts himself in God's presence. People have said, I've cried out to the Lord, and they've wondered why they don't get an answer. They feel like nothing has changed in their lives. We've cried out to God in crisis. And I think it's those times that when we cry out to God, we need to drop all the formalities and pretense, and we need to lay everything on the line. This is what's going on. I think C.S. Lewis's words about feelings are really worth reading. He says, unless you tell your moods where to get off, you can never be a sound Christian. He says, in that case, you're like a creature who's dithering to and fro with its beliefs really dependent on the weather or the state of one's own digestion. He says, we must not give in to the feelings when we pray. We must concentrate and know what is true about God. Another point is that when we are afraid, we can obtain God's provision. God's provision provides for us a deliverer and deliverance. Let's look at this through the lens of a deliverance. The word saved and deliver occur 6 times in this psalm. So much more, it becomes like a theme. After all, salvation and deliverance is what David is asking for. It is what he needs. Verse 4, he heard me, delivered me. Verse 6, the Lord heard him and saved him. Verse 17, the Lord hears, delivers. Verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Verse 19, the Lord delivers him. Do you see that trail, that theme of deliverance? The Old Testament scriptures use save and deliverance as synonyms. Whereas the New Testament used saved exclusively. The idea is the same. You see, when a person's in trouble from pursuers from sin, they need the same thing. They need salvation. They need deliverance. We need to be rescued from that situation that we are in, exactly what God did. He did that by sending Christ to save us from the power of Satan. And in that, God's provision involves a deliverer. Ultimately, mankind's deliverer is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Even in the Old Testament, Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Who's the angel of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Though Jesus was not born as a human baby until hundreds of years later, there are numerous instances of him appearing in the Old Testament in the pre-incarnate form, the angel of the Lord. So the application to this passage is this. When you are besieged with fear, God not only promises you deliverance from fear, but he promises you a deliverer as well. And the deliverer is none other than Christ himself. You learn to replace the fear of man and circumstances with fear and honor and respect of the Lord. To experience the presence of Christ in a powerful way in your life is to experience something so awesome. I've had that experience. When I was attending classes at Tyndale, full of fear, my first night, defeated, I was going home at the end of the night upset. I can't do it. I can't do this what you've called me to do, Lord. And on my way home, it's as if I heard the voice of God say, "I didn't call to fail you. Just trust me." I've had those experiences a few times in my life. It's awesome, but it's a fearful experience. Martin Luther makes this interesting observation. He said that God and the devil take opposite tactics in regards to fear. He says the Lord first allows us to become afraid that he might relieve our fears and comforts us. The devil, on the other hand, first makes us feel secure in our pride and in our sins, that we might become overwhelmed with fear and despair. When we seek him, when we worship him, when we pray to him, and knowing that God will listen to all our fears of our hearts, we experience his total acceptance and presence, and that, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, delivers us from our fears. One of the most important things any Christian can do is to become very familiar with verses of Scripture that promises God's help in times of fear and stress. These following verses are very important to me, and I would encourage you, if you have a moment and you have a pen and paper with you, I would encourage you to write down these verses because there's an application to this. Deuteronomy 31:6 reads to us, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." The next verse write down is Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Please write down Psalm 118:6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Please write down Proverbs 29:25. "The fear of man brings a snare, but who will ever trust in the Lord shall be safe." Now, I have to include a verse from Isaiah. As a huge fan of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. These are some powerful verses to give you comfort in times of fear. So how do you recall them in times of difficulty? Here's a tip. Some like to write in their Bible. That's fine. Some like to write on a little sticky note and put it in their Bible. What I'd like you to do is write down, first go to Deuteronomy 31:6 in your Bible. And I would like you to write down this reference. Right beside it, either if you write in the margin of your Bible, or if you write on a sticky note, or in my case, I have tons of bookmarks that fill my Bibles. But I would like you to write down Psalm 27:1 beside Deuteronomy 31:6. Then go to Psalm 27:1 and write down this reference. Psalm 118:6. And so on, until as we've gone through these other five verses, I would like you to write down each one following the other one. And what has happened is now you've created a chain of verses to references about fear. But you don't need to remember them all. Just remember the first one, Deuteronomy 31:6. And when you start doing that, it will lead you to the rest. When fear comes, It may be here now, it may not be, but it will arrive. Meditate on these chain of verses of how God is going to sustain you and let the Holy Spirit help you with what is going on in your heart and mind. Commit these things to God. Rest on the promises of His presence. In sense, the fear can be a powerful tool in our lives because what it does, it causes us to draw into the intimacy of God through His word. When you're feeling this feeling of helplessness and despair, you're overwhelmed with fear, remember the love of God. He will never abandon you nor forsake you. With what we've all faced together so far, don't lose hope. As Christians and children of the Most High God, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important for us to know that we will never let the ways of this world interfere with our faith and trust in God. I've spoken about this many times, and it's time for us to be reminded. Where do we turn when we feel that hope is lost? Where should we talk about our pain and sorrow, about our fears? Who can possibly understand what I am going through, what our hearts are going through? Remember this. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. There is never a time that the Lord God will abandon you. Rest assured, God is closer to you in these times than any other. So how would you recognize God's intervention in these times of fear, these times of sorrow? He does it through the kindness of others as well. He sustains you through His word. He sustains you through music and prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. But He also does it through the kindness of others. An expected word of comfort, a moment of laughter that takes you by surprise, the grace that's given to you just to get you through that day. An overwhelming peace at your worst time. God is right there by your side. Christ is holding you, wiping away your tears. It doesn't last. Remember this. It doesn't last forever. Call it a season of suffering. It can be long and it can be difficult, but God has promised that it one day will be over, and He has put you back together again, and He has put your feet once again on solid ground. God does His greatest work in the midst of our painful days. Joseph was in prison as God prepared for him to rule a land. The Israelites wandered in darkness and wilderness when God carefully provided for every one of their needs. David learned to fight when he was tending sheep. Maybe the fear that you're facing is a way of consecrating you, of molding you into his image so you can witness the wonders that he's planned for you. When you feel weak, know and understand the power of God is with you. As Paul wrote in his epistle to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so Christ's power may rest on me.'" When we're weak, our God is strong. When we're at our lowest point, he is ready to show up. And when we look back in our periods of suffering, our times of fear, we will see how his grace has sustained us and how his power has been perfected through us. It may take a while, but one day we look back with that perspective, God's perspective, and we see how faithful he was. Let us pray. Lord, you are a good father. Your love and care is endless. You care more about our well-being than even we do. No matter how much we worry over it, you are all-powerful. You are able to protect us completely and fully from anything that might arise. Lord, we confess that we forget these truths. We confess that we're prone to believe that we are alone without any protection. Lord, we know this is a lie we tell ourselves, and it only works us up into worry and fear. Father, we repent of that worry and fear now ultimately, for we know it stems from not trusting your goodness towards us. Help us believe. Help us to live out the truth that you are always close, always protecting us, always watching over every step of our life. Thank you, Lord, for your great love in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to please rise for the blessing. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.